You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Thursday morning, April 17th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. Watching us on social media, catching us on demand by podcast, listening through the Civic Media app. Thanks for starting your day right here. I got a question for you. And I noticed this last night, getting ready for Easter dinner. Have you noticed the place where you go to rock out now, where you really hear the music that makes you want to dance and everything? Do you really? It's at the grocery store now. I am not kidding even a little bit. When I tell you these were the songs I noticed first in the cereal aisle and working my way through, you know, looking at hams and looking at everything else. These are the songs that were me. First, there was Skritti Politti with Perfect Way, you know, just your very typical 80s upbeat dance tune. And then Whitney Houston comes on with, you know, How Well I Know. And okay, that's a banger for its time, I guess. And then the Pretenders start rocking out with Middle of the Road. And again, I'm just kind of bebopping down one of the aisles here, noticing the price on soda. It never seems to come down. And then when we got to Van Halen's When It's Love, I'm like, there's something weird is happening at the grocery stores now. And I know people have joked about it, like, you know, it's a generational thing. Yeah, I've noticed the music got more and more modern with time. I did not expect to be rocking out to Van Halen and the Pretenders. Greg Bach, maybe that's the case down in your neck of the woods too, or maybe that's just a weird little thing at the festival in Chippewa Falls. I don't know.
I mean, I honestly don't even know if I take notice of the music that's playing when I'm grocery shopping, but
I normally wouldn't. That's why when I started hearing this, I'm like, what?
Where that's a fantastic.
I know.
It's a fantastic mix.
It's not the, you know, the little housewife, you know, string music from the 1950s that they used to play, little Burt Kampfer or whatever. It's definitely changed, and it's weird. So it's got me a little upbeat for this morning. So there we go.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? You're sounding a little congested there.
Yeah. So as part of my journey into health.
This health.
Stupid,
health, by the
stupid
way.
Stupid journey. I had to, as a lot of you know, if you're listening, I got a CPAP machine a couple weeks ago and it's been working great. But another aspect of the whole thing was I had very like inflamed sinuses. So breathing wasn't the easiest for me.
Yep. Same.
So
here,
I went in and they did a procedure where they kind of, you know, freed up some space, essentially move things around. And
oh, a Roto-Rooter.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
And I would love to be like, well, what they did was they took the titration for your shape on your foot. I'd be like, I can't remember any of the words. So all I know is they poured some bad tasting numbing solution into my face and I smelled some burning, I heard some cracking, and now I sound like I have a head cold.
But the end result will be
that I'll be able to breathe through my nose better than I ever have in my, at least in recent memory, I should say.
Yes. That's awesome. Well, yeah. Good. Well, we wish you continued recovery from the burning and the cracking and the numbing and the
the burning and the cracking and the stuff and the numbing.
And the Roto-Rooter. Oh, yeah,
the
everything
numbing
else.
Stuff was so gross.
Ooh, okay. Well, keep that in mind when you have your orange juice this morning. coming up on the program today, it could be a day of declarations, kind of, sort of. I mean, I know we have Emily Berge coming in at 7:30. She has declared for Congress. She is the second Democrat to run in the 3rd Congressional District, hoping to take on and unseat Derek Van Orden next year. So Emily Berge joins us at 7:30. It's Thursday, so we have Joe Zepecki. Normally at 6:30, but today, right after the 7 o'clock news. And Joe has expressed interest in the soon-to-be open position of chair of the state Democratic Party. There are a couple of candidates who have already announced. Joe has said he's interested. I'm like, so we're going to ask him, how interested are you, Joe? So we'll find out just after 7 o'clock live here on our airwaves this morning. So if Joe's at 7.05, 7.10, something like that, who's at 6.30? Well, if you didn't catch it the other day, I filled in for Maggie Dawn on her afternoon program, and I interviewed movie producer Kurt Ravenwood. And I know that we have talked about this with Greg. The movie is called Hundreds of Beavers. Greg is a big fan of the movie, Hundreds of Beavers, modern slapstick,
yes,
a black and white silent movie that's perfect for our times.
And so beautiful.
And so Kurt Ravenwood, the producer, will be one of our, will be our guest. We'll play that interview back at 6:30 this morning. So we've got all kinds of fun and games coming up here today. And rocking out to grocery store music as well. Here's Brittany Merlot's forecast for the state today. She says we have to weather the rain before we get to the true spring greening up. It's all right around the corner. First, low pressure is targeting the state right now with some rain. It will be followed by a high pressure system building in for the weekend, bringing some sun. But for today, breezy, turning cloudy, spotty afternoon showers, highs statewide in the mid-60s, a southeast wind, though, at 15 to 25 miles an hour. For tonight, rain increasing, thunderstorms are possible. Lows will be in the upper 40s up north to the mid-50s in the southern part of the state with a southeast wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour. And again, more from Brittany coming up in just a bit. If you'd like to reach the show today, 855-75-CIVIC is the phone number, 855-752-4842. It is a number you can call. It is a number you can text, and you can call or text us through the Civic Media app as well. And as I mentioned earlier, we're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, so you can always put something in the comment section there. From Oz on Facebook, Pat, they play Journey and Poison in the nursing homes now. The Earth is still spinning and orbits the sun every year. All right. Fair point. I mean, we all know we're not getting any younger, so I suppose, you know, Journey, yeah, and Poison only make sense in the nursing homes. I mean, I want to hear, you know, my generation music when I get to, you know, that stage of life as well. So
I accepted it when I heard Black Crowes on classic rock radio for the first time. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I heard somebody say, yeah, classic rock from the 90s. And I died a little inside. But you know, that is where we are right now. Classic rock is the 90s.
Yep,
yes,
absolutely.
It is. So deal with it, people. He said, talking to himself. So I mentioned getting ready for Easter dinner. We're going to have a house full here on Saturday and a little bit into Sunday. What about you? Will it be a quiet weekend? Will you be
eating
a family dinner somewhere?
No, we don't do Easter. We stopped doing that a while ago. It's, I mean, if we hang out, we use the day to hang out, but we don't do any sort of Easter celebrations or like that, you know, and we don't even eat a ham. But it's just, yeah, probably not. Everyone's very busy these days, so.
Yeah. We thought we were going to have a pretty quiet Easter. And then somebody in the family said, hey, we're going to be stopping by. Oh, okay.
did you ask first?
No, we did. We put out the courtesy thing, like if all anybody right. would like to. And then a couple of family members were like, well, no, we can't. We have other plans. We're like, okay, that's fine. And then it was quiet for a while. And then, hey, we're coming. Boom. Okay. So we're off to the races over here, but it'll be nice. It's always good to have folks around. There is a story in our daily newsletter that you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com about Easter candy. Favorite Easter candy, least favorite Easter candy. The stats come from a bulk candy store called candystore.com. Mr. Bach, are you checking out of that topic or what?
Oh, I know. I have my votes already.
Oh, you have your votes?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I know what I like. For Easter.
I will tell you that they do break it down by state, you know, the favorite and least favorite candy by state, and then nationally. And the trend that I noticed, you'll have to look at the newsletter for the full details, but there are certain things that are on people's favorites and least favorite list. Peeps would be the best example. Some people absolutely love Peeps. Other people, you know, that's just sugar overload. They don't want to do it. Same thing goes for Cadbury cream eggs. there are people, including some under this rooftop, that love them, can't get enough of them every year, and other people never touch them. They're icky, they're gooey, you know, again, just way too sweet. But there's, I think Easter candy is perhaps more polarizing than Halloween candy, I'd go so far as to say. And then they did favorite jelly bean flavors, and in Wisconsin, your favorite jelly bean flavor is cotton candy. So having laid all that out, where does the Bach resident stand on Easter candy?
Well, Easter candy, I mean, I that's a conversation my wife and I have never had. My guess is that hers would be a chocolate-based type of thing. But honestly, at number one is Cadbury Cream Egg for me. And that is because I would eat one, possibly two, during the season. So it's just enough.
Yes.
But the least favorite, and I'm telling you right now, if you ever walk into my house holding one of those sugar-covered marshmallow abominations that you call peeps, there will be words. And the words will be harsh.
Words, people.
So, yeah, I don't like peeps.
No, clearly you don't like peeps.
No, I think they were created on a dare.
Created on a dare. I like that. No, I'll tell you what was created on a dare. Somebody who loves me so much, she's stayed married to me for 38 years. The way that she has peeps is to open up the package and leave them sit out for a couple of days and let them get like a little
stale,
harder,
yep.
A little stale. And she loves those. And I love her anyway. Cassandra puts Starburst jelly beans are the best. Alicia says, my favorite is Robin eggs and cannot stand peeps. There's the Cadbury cream eggs, and then there's the little Cadbury chocolate eggs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I went, again, somebody in this house purchased them. I was very proud that I went almost 2 weeks without touching them. And then, like, day before yesterday, remember that day we were both saying on air, were we feeling kind of cranky today?
Yeah.
Somewhere in the middle of the day, I probably said a naughty word and grabbed a handful of those. And I mean, just one by one by one, because once you start, and those little Cadbury eggs with the little candy shell,
the crunchiness, the ooey, not the ooey gooey.
Yep. Oh, I haven't had any since, but that particular day was a bit of a setback.
I feel you. I may have dunked my hand into a family size bag of M&Ms that day and taken part in candy goodness.
And Cassandra, great question. Also, why do the Reese's peanut butter cups taste better when they're shaped like an egg? That's a very fair question. That gets us into the whole texture of food and everything else. But yeah, some people who don't have the peanut butter cups, they love the Easter candy. So anyway, there's a debate people will be having all through the weekend and more in our newsletter. We'll actually get to some of the day's news and sports in a bit as well. But first, live from Lake Wissota, this is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Liz Phair has a birthday today. We'll tell you more about it in today's history lesson coming up in 30 minutes here on Up North News Radio. I was going to go to the Brewers next and then maybe a little news, but no, I have to go to the text line. Greg, you saw it first. Mind blown, right?
I don't understand the physics of this one, Pat.
I don't either, but Scott and Madison on the text line. Shall I read it?
Do it.
He says, try air frying the Cadbury candy-coated eggs, so the center will melt, but the shell stays intact.
I mean, it's just that's almost, that feels, just feels like I don't know, like witchcraft. Like,
and the thing is, I think I know that Scott and Madison will occasionally play a prank or two, and is he waiting for tomorrow's show when I go, it didn't work that way at all, and it took me forever to clean out my air fryer. So, and
then
I hear an evil laugh. Yes, but there you go. So somebody, it may not be me, but somebody Try air frying the Cadbury candy-coated egg so the center melts but the shell stays intact. Of course, now I got to note, what's the temperature? How many minutes? Somebody had to experiment with this stuff, right?
Yeah.
So,
oh, there's videos. I'm looking at them right now.
Oh, my God. Are you really?
Yep.
All right. We have really started something here with the Easter candy. In fact, back over in the comment sections here, we also have, we were talking about in the break about Halloween candy. Halloween doesn't really have candy. It has normal candy, but with different packaging, as Tony says. And there's candy corn, but that's not really candy. So no, that doesn't really count.
That's just mean.
Yes, it is. All right. Those torpedo bats. Remember the new torpedo bats that the Yankees used so well against the Brewers?
Yeah.
Let me take you to yesterday's Brewers game, third game of the series with the Tigers. Second inning, Brewers third baseman Oliver Dunn makes his way to the plate with a torpedo bat in hand. There's one out. Garrett Mitchell is on third base after a triple. It's the first time that a Brewer player has stepped to the plate with a torpedo bat. He steps up and puts down a perfect sacrifice bunt that allows Garrett Mitchell to hustle home with the game's first run in what would turn out to be a 5-1 Milwaukee victory. It's like the movie Major League that they filmed at County Stadium, except it's American Family Field now, and you're laying the bunt down perfectly. Oh, there were home runs, by the way. Christian Yelich hit a home run. Reese Hoskins hit a home run. Sal Frelick hit a home run. So Milwaukee took 2 or 3 out of the series, but I wish I would have. I had the game on in the background, but I missed that moment. I would have loved that. Oh, he's got the torpedo bat. He's swinging for the fences. Doink!
Guys, back up, back up. He's got the torpedo bat. Ah, man!
Ah! So the Brewers are off today at home. The homestand does continue, so they've got a nice off day, you know, around the house today. And then they've got a 3-game homestand against the West Sacramento Athletics starting tomorrow. 6:35 the start on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Yes,
are they where I've been so out of baseball? I've just been on the peripherals.
Is this about the Athletics?
Yeah, are they wearing their uniforms? Do they say Oakland Athletics, or do they say
nope? Like it's very European. It's just the Athletics.
Oh God.
No name, because they're not in Vegas yet.
The Washington
football
team.
They're not in
team.
Oakland. Yes, and they won't adopt Sacramento. And better yet, the stadium is in the suburb of West Sacramento. So I think they ought to put it on the uniform, the West Sacramento Athletics. But they refuse. All right, let's head to the NBA now, where if you're the kind of person that loves to watch the playoffs and you can't wait to watch the Bucks in the playoffs, well, too bad. Because the Bucks and the Pacers, they begin their series in Indy Saturday at noon for game one of a best of 7 playoff series. You'll probably find game one okay. It's on ESPN, okay? But game two, which isn't until Tuesday of next week, is on NBA TV.
What?
Then game three, which isn't until next Friday in Milwaukee, also on NBA TV. And then game four in Milwaukee, which is late next Sunday night, will be on TNT. There's no rhyme or reason to where you will find your favorite team in the playoffs. Imagine the Packers or Brewers in the playoffs, and you have no idea where to find them.
Oh, I mean, the same thing with the Brewers, though. Like, are the Brewers on YouTube TV? Are they on Apple TV Plus? Are they on network television?
But
are
not
they
for the playoffs, well, necessarily.
Fair. You're absolutely right. But at this point now, I am just used to asking the question, where can I watch this, and not like being able to just say, like, oh, network or Fox or ESPN. It's like, oh, it's on Tubi, but you have to go to Tubi 4 and then put a password in to Tubi 4 to get to Tubi 8. Yeah, it's I don't Pat understand why at this point any of these leagues, well NFL does this, but like MLB, just have one place where you can watch all games, no blackouts. Charge people $175 a year, they will pay it.
Yes.
If they have one spot, but they don't.
They do not. No. Again, I'm not the biggest NBA fan. I'm not looking for them, especially the first round of the playoffs. But there are other people who are, and you're not doing your fan base any favors by this at all. But they got a network. They're trying to make money off it, I guess. So, I've got one story in the news that I wanted to share, and it's more of a social media post, and the outrage that followed Congressman Tony Weed. who put up a Facebook post yesterday. I believe it was about a Tuesday visit, where he said, enjoyed visiting NEW Community Clinic in Green Bay, that'd be the Northeast Wisconsin Community Clinic, and learning about the important services they provide to the people of the 8th District. And there's Congressman Weed standing with some people from the new clinic outside one of their, you know, mobile clinic facilities. It was not lost on people that this is a congressman visiting a clinic that he is about to harm substantially by cuts in Medicaid, where there are so many of the clinic's patients whose health care is affordable only because of Medicaid. And so the patients and clinics, not just that one, but all over the 8th Congressional District and all over Wisconsin, are going to be facing a severe crisis if the budget that Tony Weed supports actually gets enacted into law. Our friend Emily Cephos put a comment on there. Seriously, you vote for budgets that decimate their funding and threaten the services their clients use, and then you post a photo acting like you've got their backs? You should be approaching them with humility for the pain you've caused and have an honest intention instead to actually listen and learn from them. Very well said, Emily, about a congressman who might have been a little tone deaf putting up that particular post. We'll learn about the movie Hundreds of Beavers with producer Kurt Ravenwood next. You're up north. Who's ready for a palate cleanser? What say we talk about movies? Specifically, a movie about beavers. Hundreds of Beavers. That's the name of the movie. Hundreds of Beavers, named the number 4 best indie film of 2024 by the LA Times. Hundreds of Beavers was filmed during COVID up in the Wisconsin North Woods. No dialogue, shot in black and white on a shoestring budget, and it did not go right to streaming. It had some very nice showings, including one recently in Milwaukee, where it was screened on 35mm film, bringing analog charm with all of its grainy imperfections. And so joining us today is one of the producers of Hundreds of Beavers, Kurt Ravenwood. Kurt, thank you for being here. Nice to see you.
Hey, good to be here. Nice to see you too.
Look, I never thought in all my years of doing radio that I would be talking about a silent film. And yet here I am with no dialogue and a lot of beavers. And it was the movie trailer I didn't know I needed to see until I saw it. And that's where I'm going to leave it. You're one of the people that did all the, you know, that has done the work to have this movie done and to promote it. And so you, far better than me, can describe, if we go see Hundreds of Beavers in a theater or streaming, what are we going to see?
Well, you're going to see physical slapstick comedy like you haven't seen since the early days. And I think the kind of comedy that we really haven't seen on screen since the Zucker Brothers, other, you know, Wisconsin filmmakers, did movies like Airplane and Naked Gun. The director, Mike Cheslick, who's from Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin, and then the actor and co-writer, Ryland Tooze, just really have a big nostalgia for this kind of cinema. Three Stooges, Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton. But they're also inspired equally by things like video games and Charlie Chan. So, like, there's all kinds of great influences wrapped up in Hundreds of Beavers. It's not really a truly throwback movie, even though it uses the aesthetics of black and white and silent comedy. But when you watch the film, you'll find that we have a few tricks up our sleeves that bring it to modern audiences.
Yeah, very much so. Because, again, if you were to just see little tiny snippets, you'd say, oh, this is one of those slapstick films from the, you know, the 20s, 30s, whatever the case may be. And then you see some of the effects that are brought into play and you go, oh, no, we're marrying, you know, we're in a time warp here. We're taking something that maybe Buster Keaton would have been the lumberjack, and instead we're making it for a modern era. Now, the synopsis reads, in this 19th century supernatural winter epic, a drunken Applejack salesman must go from zero to hero and become North America's greatest fur trapper by defeating hundreds of beavers. I hope that's not too much of a spoiler alert.
That about sums it up. You know, man versus beaver, man versus nature, man gets girl. It's really a simple story that everyone can relate to. And the fact that it has no dialogue means it translates well overseas. Hundreds of Beavers has played in hundreds of countries around the world in the last few years, and we've been really excited to see how it's rolled out.
And so that rollout did include a Milwaukee showing. So talk, can you tell us a bit about that? You know, again, what was it about the Milwaukee ad agency that had some ideas to, you know, expose people to it in a way that isn't just, you know, go watch it on your tablet?
Totally. So I'm going to have to educate a little bit on how the movie industry works in order to fully tell this story. Sure. So when you make a movie as an independent producer, you are making a movie that is not in the Hollywood system, meaning it does not have distribution. Now, how it used to work is you would bring your film to a film festival like Sundance or South by Southwest and hope that one of these Hollywood people would see your movie, love it so much, buy it, and get it out to the masses. Now, unfortunately, that did not happen for us. While we did play in some really great film festivals, including the Milwaukee Film Festival in 2023, we had no distribution offers whatsoever. We were told it's black and white. There's no stars in it. It's not based on anything that anyone knows. How are we ever going to market this movie? And so, I'm a producer, but for my day job, I produce commercials. I'm in advertising, and I have an advertising agency here in Milwaukee in Walker's Point called SRH. So when we hit a wall with distribution, we had the idea of, well, let's just do this ourselves. We're marketers. We know how to get butts in seats. We know how to market things. Perhaps we can market a movie. And so in 2024, in the very beginning of 2024, we spent 2 weeks driving a van around from Minneapolis all the way to Toronto, screening the movie and one night only screenings all the way. And that 2 week roadshow actually caught the attention of a lot of the industry press. So we got a full feature in the New York Times art section. The LA Times covered it. Variety covered it. All of these major Hollywood players were wondering, hey, how is this movie gaining an audience without a distributor? How is this happening? And the truth is, we just knew we had a movie that people loved and had a lot of fun with. And if we could get a theater owner to agree to put the movie on screens, we could pack the house. So that was 2 weeks of showing up in person, doing some antics. You know, our movie features animals that are actually people in mascot costumes. So there was some obvious marketing tie-in there. We would wrestle beavers in the audience during the Q&A. And that just generated more and more attention so that we were able to have a big New York premiere, a big Los Angeles premiere. And that just continued to snowball, pun intended, until the movie has shown in well over 300 theaters across the United States over the last year and a half. And we've made nearly $1.5 million at the box office, and we're still going. There are still screenings that pop up every week all around the country.
I mean, this is a little guy, small business, you know, success story of, we're so used to everything is locked into, you know, what the corporate way is, and you've got to be in this mainstream lane. And if you're not currying favor, you know, you're never going to be out there. And this is a reminder that, you know, through the internet and guerrilla marketing and everything else, if you're willing to do the work, you can still get the attention, even if you don't start with, you know, all the bells and whistles that other people might have.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we had the right movie at the right time. I will guarantee all of your listeners that Hundreds of Beavers has more laughs per minute than any other film you can find. If you do not feel that way after you watch it, you can have your money back. Just email me. It's a funny movie, and people had not been coming to theaters to get together and laugh their butts off with a room full of strangers in years. I mean, can you remember the last time you were in a movie theater with a crowd and everyone was screaming laughing?
No.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So that's what, so at the end of the day too, I think Mike and Ryland made such a funny movie that people found, I think, uniquely healing in a way in the kind of crazy times that we live in. And now the coolest thing is it's just developed its own cult following. If you follow us on Hundreds of Beavers social, which is on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Blue Sky, we're on everything we can be. You'll see that people around the world have Hundreds of Beavers tattoos. People are making Hundreds of Beavers merch. People, I just got in touch with a guy today who has a licensing agreement with Lego, and he's going to make Hundreds of Beavers Legos. The thing is just really taken on off on its own. But it all started with, you know, a couple guys in a van just roadshowing it around the Midwest.
Oh my goodness. And the roadshow's clearly paid off. As I was looking at the trailer, there are a lot of film festival marks here, including one from Atlanta, Kansas City, Phoenix. This is getting attention. It's building.
Yeah. And our festival, it's kind of confusing to follow. Like our festival run, we were able to play in all those film festivals well before our roadshow. And that's what showed us that we had a good movie, right? Like all these festivals were taking the movie in and we would go and visit them and we would watch with the audiences. And we just saw like, wow, we know we have a good movie. Why isn't Hollywood paying attention? Why aren't they jumping on board this, right? Like movie theaters are struggling. Movies are bombing. This is the kind of thing maybe people want to see. And that's why, you know, we had the guts to then take it out on our own. But the coolest thing about it is, you know, other than that first 2 week roadshow, we haven't had to show up in person to a single screening. The movie's just kind of carried on a life of its own. And we get frequent requests from people all over the country to play it again in their city.
It is. You might have a better example than mine, but I can just say that at the time when my daughters were teenagers, for them, it was Napoleon Dynamite was this film that I saw the first time. Sherry and I looked at it and we're like, what the hell are our daughters watching? And then we watched it a second time. And of course, by the third time, we're quoting the lines. And that, we're probably quoting the lines more than our kids now are at this point because they're adults. And it goes, you never know where that next thing is going to hit, where it's going to connect with folks. Clearly, you're making a connection here somewhat in that vein.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Napoleon Dynamite's a great film. I grew up with that film. The director's having a very good couple of weeks because he directed the Minecraft movie, which is doing very good business, if you haven't heard.
I had no idea. I took my 11-year-old grandson last week. Been talking about that. In fact, I mentioned this morning, I'm sure the 11-year-old's not listening, so spoiler alert, his Easter basket gift includes a T-shirt about Steve's lava chicken from the Minecraft movie because he can't stop singing the song. So again, you just don't know what's going to catch with folks, and you know, you work at it and people notice and there it is.
Yeah, absolutely. If you say chicken jockey to a Gen Z kid right now, they will scream and throw popcorn at you. And you know what? Like, look, I'm going to be honest. I did not understand that movie. I did not like it at all. But I really find it encouraging to see kids coming back into the movie theaters. I think movie theaters have just really, really struggled since COVID. And I understand that you can watch almost any movie at home. And I also understand it's very expensive to get to the movie theater. So I think it's on us as movie producers to actually put on a show, to make it an event and to make it a fun time because people are spending a lot of money to do it.
And frankly, again, not to get political, there's always room for comedy. But as somebody who, you know, I grew up with slapstick. I love slapstick. My wife often says that she doesn't, but then I'll catch her chuckling with, you know, something that I'm watching. And I'm sorry. I mean, yeah, I chuckle at all of the Avengers movies, but that ain't a slapstick movie. We need a little bit more of that in our lives these days.
Yeah, I want the healing power of a belly laugh, you know, like a belly, like a deep belly laughing. And yeah, you don't get that with the kind of clever humor, I think, even from like movies like Deadpool and Wolverine. They're popular, they're funny, but a lot of their humor comes from irony and like self-referential stuff. And I think we're just done with that. And I think it's time to kind of go back to our roots in comedy. And all the movies we're going to work on next are all going to be in that same vein.
Let's talk about how people can see it and who should see it. First off, where would you put it in, you know, is it more of a PG-13 or how would you rate that for parents who are listening going, is this something I want to watch with my kid who is this age?
That's a great question because we couldn't afford to have the Hollywood system give it a rating. It's cost a lot of money to submit for that. I would call it a PG-11 or a PG-12. So it's right around there. Okay. There is a lot of animal violence, but it's all done on mascots. So, you know, keep an eye out for that. Depends on your comfort level. But really, if you let your kids watch Looney Tunes, if you would let your kids watch Looney Tunes,
that's what I was going to say. Yep.
You can let them watch Hundreds of Beavers. It's right in that same vein.
And honestly, I think we might be better off if more kids were watching Looney Tunes instead of some of what they're seeing out there these days. So you've had the showings, but obviously, you know, streaming is the big option as well. So there are plenty of streaming options for Hundreds of Beavers too?
Plenty of streaming options. So if you have a little bit of cash you want to throw our way, the way we make the most money is if you buy or rent it digitally on Amazon or iTunes. However, you know, we know it's tough times, so we wanted to make it widely available for free. So it is on YouTube with ads, Don't love it, but you can watch it for free and Tubi and a bunch of other streaming services. So if you just Google it and follow us on social, you can also keep track of when we do actual theatrical screenings, which we've done a number of and we will continue to as long as we can.
I'm very glad that I got to talk to Kurt Ravenwood the other day about Hundreds of Beavers, and I really wish I'd known about it a week earlier and could have taken the 11-year-old to see the Minecraft movie, which we did do, and this one. That might have been great. Tony notes on YouTube that he first heard about the movie from Pete on Fantastic Movie, and goes on to ask, mascot costumes? Does Dr. Lyerly make a cameo?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't have been surprised, except that the movie was made, you know, at least a couple of years ago. And so she, you know, she wasn't as well known for being a former mascot as she is now. So look for Kristen Lyerly in the sequel to Hundreds of Beavers.
Thousands of Beavers.
Should be thousands. Yes. Hordes of Beavers. So again, lots of ways to get it streamed. And again, just a fun thing. I just heard about it on Tuesday for the first time. Been a little busy prepping the house here for Easter, but that'll be, you know, part of our Easter weekend entertainment is to get to see it since it comes so highly recommended by Tony and by Greg and by many others.
So good.
All right. Well, we have our history lesson coming up right after this break, and then a very busy 7 o'clock hour where we will meet with Joe Sopecki. He's joining us in the next hour, and we will ask him whether or not he's going to get in the race for state Democratic Party chair. And then at 7:30, Emily Berge, who is in the race for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Having been born and raised at a time when Three Dog Night was making this the top of the charts in 1971, and I was watching Bugs Bunny cartoons at the same time, I can never hear the phrase Jeremiah was a bullfrog without thinking of Michigan J. Bullfrog. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. From the cartoons.
Oh,
it's just a melding of cultures that only the very early Gen Xers would understand. Welcome to today's history lesson, where Three Dog Night's little ditty there was the number one song this week in 1971 and stayed the number one song for 6 weeks. On this day in 1961 was the Bay of Pigs invasion, where a group of Cuban exiles, financed and trained by the CIA, landed at the Bay of Pigs in Cuba with the aim of ousting Fidel Castro. It did not go well.
Nope, it did not.
On this day in 1970, Apollo 13... also did not go well, but at least had a happy ending as the ill-fated spacecraft returned to Earth safely. Tom Hanks and Kevin Bacon and who was the other?
Gary Sinise. Bill Pullman.
We're all in good shape and none the worse for wear.
Yeah.
Jan Hammer, the composer, producer. Jan Hammer, and from Czechoslovakia, is 77 years old today. You know him best for one particular TV theme.
Oh.
There you go. Here's a little Miami Vice. Get those pastel-colored outfits on and go chase the bad guys. Phil Collins will sing tonight for you.
If you want
some, or in the air tonight.
If you want some Jan Hammer from like a decade before, check out the first like two Mahavishnu Orchestra records. So good.
Really?
Oh my God. It's jazz fusion at its finest.
Things I learned from you. Liz Phair, we heard her earlier. Indie rock icon, is 58 years old today. Jennifer Garner is 53 today. And Michael Sambello, he turned 71 years old today, and here's another piece of soundtrack history.
Get your leg warmers.
That's right.
And that chair.
Yep. Spin in that circle.
Pull the lever.
Or
water.
Are you
Are you thinking of Chris Farley? He does it in the Chippendales. or in Tommy Boy at the gas station.
Did you eat paint chips as a kid? Why?
Back when you weren't sure, is Rob Lowe becoming a comedic actor?
Is Rob Lowe back? How did he come back?
Yep, and it was thanks to things like this. Yes. Chris Farley is making fun of this song from Michael Sambello, who has a birthday today. A birthday for one of the Spice Girls, Posh Spice, Victoria Beckham. She is 51 years old today, and every day wakes up happy that she made money off it, but unhappy that we remind the world that she was part of the Spice Girls. She's been working so hard to distance herself sometimes. Here was a little bit of chart history from this day in 1971. The Beatles had just broken up months earlier. The public still loved the Beatles, couldn't wait to see what they were all going to do. And on this day, through a happy little chart coincidence in the UK on their music charts, each of the four Beatles had a solo single on the UK chart. We'll start here with John Lennon. Paul McCartney had a hit on the charts as well. Then Ringo Starr, he had a hit as well.
I love this song.
And to round it all out, George Harrison also had a solo hit. Were you snickering at the difference between Paul McCartney songs and John Lennon songs at that point in their careers?
Yes, because you realize that like John Lennon has always had a there's always been like a deeper purpose, I think, in his songwriting. I think he's always like, you know,
are you saying Paul just wants to write silly love songs?
Yeah, it's just like,
because monetize the difference between them.
Oh, absolutely. Because he's like, I wrote a song. What's it about? I don't know. Getting up, make some chicken. Oh, it'd be a hit, you know? But like, you also look at the divide too. You look at the divide between the four Beatles. You have George and John writing deeper things, and Ringo and Paul are just like, Paul, hey, like, man,
whatever. Yep.
Whatever.
And
man.
It all worked. Yeah. It all worked. And they'll all tell you that, you know, the creative tension made them crazy.
Yeah.
But it also made, you know, brought them happiness at times as well.
Yeah.
And that kids is art. Much like poetry, today is National Haiku Day. And so I offer on National Haiku Day a dramatic reading of a haiku I just wrote 8 seconds ago. Just 5 syllables. Add 3 more. Then 5. Call it good.
That's not a haiku.
I know it's not. I'm making up the new rules. It's poetry. You can do whatever you want with it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh, hold on. My apologies.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you very much. This is National Cheese Ball Day, which might be tied to my attempt to, you know, just completely warp what a haiku is. Malbec Day, Teen Literature Day. This is National Kickball Day. I can't tell you how much kickball I played as a kid, which I'm sure some people are going, oh, that explains it. Took a kickball to the head once or twice, but we played so much kickball in the parking lot near where we lived. And it's National Ford Mustang Day.
Okay. All right.
I mean, some car, you know, Corvettes, Mustangs, they get their own day. What about the Ford Granada from 1976? Does it get its own day?
No. I'm waiting for Edsel Day, frankly.
Yes.
Well, also, I have a question, and this is going to make me sound really dumb, but what's a Malbec?
Oh, it's a red wine. Sorry. Oh. Yes. Yeah, it's a particular kind of red wine.
I guess
wine.
That's on brand for me not knowing.
When we come back, we will have Joe Zepecki here to talk about the state Democratic Party chair race and Emily Berge talking about the 3rd Congressional District race for next year on Up North News Radio, live from
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.